For all who are right here, let me invite you to open up God's Word with me to the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 20 today. If you're using a pew Bible, you can find this text on page 902, Acts chapter 20 today. And last week, if you were here, you know I shared a message on why elders? Why elders? Why would we consider what's being proposed, what's been proposed? Why would we even open this door? Why would we consider this? And today I want to focus on what's an elder. Why an elder and what's an elder? And for that exploration, our text is Acts chapter 20. And so let me invite you to look at it with me. But perhaps you'd like to know where we're going. And beginning next week, we'll turn in a new direction of study for God's Word. We've been in the book of Acts for the duration of the summer. But next week, we'll turn back to the Old Testament. And we'll begin in preparation for a series through the book of Joshua that will begin in a couple weeks. And so I look forward to that time together with you. But today we're in Acts chapter 20. And so as you find your place there in Acts chapter 20, let me invite all who are able, would you join me standing for the reading of God's Word? For the reading of God's Word. Acts chapter 20, this is a text that we looked at. We've looked at in part and we looked at and read recently. In our time through the book of Acts, but a little bit of context. Paul is on his way, on the tail end of his missionary journeys. He's on his way back to Jerusalem. And so he's en route to Jerusalem. And while en route, he calls for the elders of the church in Ephesus. And this is where we pick up the story in Acts chapter 20, verse 17. It says, "From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church." Moving down to verse 28, this is the heart of what he says to them. "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." Would you pause with me as we pray? Oh God, as we just sung, glory to your name. Father, as your word is read, as it is proclaimed, as it is heard and applied. Father, we pray that your Spirit would guide each step of the way for the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, elders or pastors are charged in the Bible with spiritually leading the church, while, as we saw recently, deacons help care for the church. Deacons help care for the church. And church, you know this if you've been here over the last few weeks. We're in deacon nomination time of the year. And if you're a church member and you've not prayerfully participated in that, I'm encouraging you to participate in that way. To participate in nominating deacons. This is the last Sunday that we're emphasizing that, and throughout this week, the deadline is later this week, but we want those deacon nominations as you prayerfully participate in that process and trust that the Lord will guide it for His glory. So remember that God gives deacons as leading servants in the church, and we don't read a whole lot about deacon ministry in the New Testament. I think that's intentional because deacon ministry looks different from church to church, from place to place, depending on the needs of the church. But remember that God gives deacons as leading servants who help meet practical needs and foster unity in a church. On the other hand, an elder is a servant leader who shepherds the church to follow Christ. An elder is a servant leader who shepherds the church to follow Christ. So two offices that work hand in hand, work together for the good of the church. Deacons leading servants, elders servant leaders. Elders are servant leaders who shepherd the church to follow Christ. Now when we talk about elders or pastors. I think this is important. We're not talking about sort of a sacred group of folks that somehow have special knowledge or power to perform ministerial duties that no one else does. In other words, we don't have a sacramental understanding of the priesthood in that way, as some traditions do. Well, we believe that this is God's path. I believe this is God's path through His Word, made clear through His Word, of setting apart the spiritual leaders of a local church within a particular local church for a role and responsibility in that particular local church. But that doesn't mean the duties of elders are only elder duties. I want to make that clear. Not only elder pastoral things. As one of you said to me this week in that particular document that was shared, there are some things in here that are everybody's responsibility. And you're exactly right. In other words, elders aren't the only ones who teach. Right? Elders aren't the only ones who care for the church, who care for the body of Christ. Elders aren't the only ones who are even spiritual leaders in the church. Many folks in the body of Christ, as God provides necessary people and gifts for the good of His church, many folks do these things in marvelous ways for the good and the growth of the church, of the body, namely, our ministerial staff, ministers who have trained for this, ministers who have devoted their livelihood to this, servant leaders who do many of these things on behalf of the church, for the good of the church and the glory of God. We could go further and say our Sunday school teachers who lead and shepherd classes week in and week out. We might add to that folks that are adamant prayer warriors, mission trip leaders. The list could go on. Even the qualifications that Paul lists for elders and deacons, for the most part, are things that ought to be true of all of us as followers of Jesus. And so, Meadowbrook, let's be leery of saying that's his job. That's her job. And so if something doesn't happen, we're quick to say, oh, that's on them. No, the church functions best the way that God intends when pastors are leading in ways, Ephesians chapter 4, that equip the saints. That's all of us, believers. Equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Jesus Christ. But central to the shepherding is the ministry of the Word. You see, everywhere the Bible says much of anything about pastors or elders, it's focused on proclaiming God's Word, on testifying to Jesus, and doing so in ways that have the well-being of the flock in mind. Peter would say it this way. He'd say to the elders, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. 1 Peter chapter 5. In other words, it's not just a ministry of the Word. It's not just a teaching or preaching ministry. I think my own perspective on this has changed significantly, even over 10 years as pastoring the church here at Meadowbrook. I have no doubt 10 plus years ago, if somebody would have said, hey, what's the primary function of a pastor? I would say preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be faithful in teaching and proclaiming God's Word. And I would still say that. But I would add this, I think. Preach the Word to the people entrusted to you, with a particular awareness to who you're speaking to who you're shepherding, to who you're leading. You see, an elder is a servant leader who shepherds the church, a particular church, to follow Jesus Christ. In short, that's what Paul's telling these men from Ephesus to do in Acts chapter 20. And again, as we've pointed out in times past, they're unnamed. They're not TV preachers. They're not celebrity pastors or theologians. They're simply men called by God to know the Word, love the church, love the Lord, and reflect His character. And if we were to go on and read Paul's full message to these Ephesian elders in this chapter, it becomes quite clear that he's telling them, he's telling the leaders of the church to follow his example, to follow his model, to follow his example as they lead the church. And Paul's example is built on the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. For elsewhere he says in 1 Corinthians, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. What a thing to be able to say. I think about that even in light of parenting. Any leadership responsibility entrusted to you, and even just wrestling through with my precious bride about a parenting challenge this week. And looking at each other and say, what do we do with this? How do we navigate this? How do we address this in the right way? I want to be able to say to my children, hey, follow me, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. May that be true of us. You see, like Paul, elders are called to lead like Jesus. An elder is a servant leader who shepherds the church to follow Christ, and as such, an elder has proven Christ-like character. A proven Christ-like character. Character certainly implying the way one lives, what one believes, the way one conducts himself. Certainly a proven Christ-like character because those servant leaders, we pray, have spent time with Jesus. Not something that anybody comes up with on their own, strives for on their own, but something that we pray and hope reflects knowing the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, a proven Christ-like character. Even the term elder implies maturity, it implies wisdom. It's not something that happens quickly. It takes time to be tested and observed to gain credibility in the eyes of the congregation. That's why if you've read that proposed document, there's a qualification there, the list, minimum membership requirement within a particular local church. It says 5 years. In other words, there's time to be observed, to be watched. And so when we talk about recognizing men in the church to be elders, we're talking about men who have proven in this particular context, in this church family, that they know and love Jesus Christ and his people. Listen to how Paul describes his own ministry in Ephesus as a model for these men. Verse 18, he says, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. In other words, here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, my ministry provides a model for how you should lead the church. How did Paul lead? He served the Lord with great humility. In other words, his ministry leadership wasn't about him. It was about Jesus. He served the Lord with tears. He compassionately cared for the ones he was shepherding with fortitude to press on, even in the face of hardship for the good of his bride. His ministry wasn't about him. It was about Jesus. I mean, even just picture the guys that, the 12, that Jesus called. No resumes submitted. No prior ministry experience required, just a willingness to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus. Jesus said, I think I'll take those fishermen. They're a little rough around the edges, but they're moldable. It says, I want this tax collector over here. I know nobody really likes him, but the Father desires to use him. Now, don't mishear me. Giftedness matters. Giftedness does matter. It matters, but not more than or even as much as Christ-like character. There's the primary gift mentioned, able to teach. An elder has proven Christ-like character, and an elder preaches and teaches the whole gospel of grace. An elder preaches and teaches the whole gospel of grace. The first responsibility listed on our elder proposal is teaching and feeding the church. Not all preachers and teachers are elders, but all elders are expected to participate in the teaching ministry of the church. And that's not to say that all forms of teaching are the same, but if able to teach is a qualification, and it is, 1 Timothy chapter 3, He must be teaching in some capacity before becoming an elder. Paul's message to the Ephesian elders is saturated with references to preaching grace. We could list many of them in this chapter alone, but here's just a few of them. Verse 20, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house." Verse 21, "I have declared about Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." Verse 31, "So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I have never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." An elder has proven Christ-like character. An elder preaches and teaches the whole gospel of grace. And third, an elder leads and cares for Christ's church. What's an elder? An elder leads and cares for Christ's church. I know that for many of us, when we think of elders, we may think of a board. A group of folks who sit in a room and make decisions on behalf of the church, but I want you to get that picture out of your mind. That's not what we're talking about here. Certainly there are board-like things that leaders have to do, but biblical elders are shepherds. They're shepherds. They shepherd the flock of God by leading and caring for the church. They're men most often raised up from within a congregation who are burdened for the spiritual well-being of the congregation. And again, this doesn't happen quickly. So why Paul would say, don't be hasty in laying on hands. For qualifications for overseers, take time to observe. Paul says, verse 28, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." I think it's almost as if he says, you didn't earn this role. You didn't earn this position. God did this. It's not about you. Lead and care for the bride and body of the Lord Jesus Christ. An elder leads and cares for Christ's church, caring for his own soul. Caring for his own soul. Paul says, keep watch over yourselves. Verse 28. In other words, you can't shepherd if you're not following the chief shepherd. Care for your own soul. Paul would say it elsewhere to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. In other words, be attentive to your own relationship with Jesus. And obviously, once again, this is the same thing for anyone in any kind of leadership position. Any kind of spiritual leadership role. Be attentive to your relationship with God. Walk with the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Follow after Him, because you can't give what you don't have. Church, if I can just peel back the veneer again for a moment. Pastoral ministry is so easy to stray. It is so easy to neglect walking with Christ, even in a position or role or responsibility of ministry in the name of Christ for the good of others. It is so easy to fall. It is so easy to fail. There's a constant pull toward isolation that is not what the Holy Spirit desires to cultivate in all of God's people. It's another danger, a constant danger of abusing the particular leadership authority that's been entrusted to you. Twin dangers of being in leadership role. And on both of these dangers, I want you to hear this from me, church. My prayer is that a plurality of elders in the church with shared and equal authority and transparent accountability would provide helpful guardrails against both of those twin dangers. An elder leads and cares for Christ's church, caring for his own soul and caring for the whole congregation. Caring for the whole church, for the whole congregation. The metaphor here is a flock. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock, over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Shepherd the flock. Lead and care for the flock. A shepherd cares for the sheep. Helping protect the church from things like false teaching. That's the big one that's named right here. From within the church and outside of the church. but also helping protect the church from division, helping protect the church from corruption by addressing these things, correcting them, and caring for the well-being of the flock in the midst of them. I believe that the person in the office of pastor, elder, overseer has an obligation and responsibility for shepherding the whole church in ways that point them to Jesus Christ. For after all, the church belongs to Him. The church belongs to Him. An elder leads and cares for Christ's church, always remembering the church belongs to Christ. Always remembering that the church belongs to Christ. It's a conversation that took place in my kitchen this week. My kindergartner, who's excited about riding the bus, was telling his brother that his bus passes by his church. And then he said, well, our church. And then he thought about that and he said, well, basically, daddy's church. No, son. This is not daddy's church. This is not our church. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body and blood of Christ. The body and bride of Christ, which He bought with His own blood. The whole earth is the Lord's and everything in it, right? Psalm 24 verse 1. How much more so then must the church be the Lord's and every single person in it? Paul says, be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought. Which He bought with His own blood. And you see, when those who lead and serve the church really remember who owns the church, they begin to lead and serve like the one who owns the church. They begin to lead like Jesus. So one commentator on this, Alexander Strock, he writes, he says, the Jesus style of leadership means leading others, not lording one's authority over others. It's an others-oriented style of leadership where the leader serves the people, even the most insignificant ones, and expects nothing in return. It's loving attentiveness to the other people's needs, marked by suffering for the good of others, even being willing to die for others. It's denying self and sacrificing oneself for others. It is promoting and advancing others. It is being a Philippians 2 leader. You see, in Acts chapter 20, in context, Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem. He's warned by some folks, don't go to Jerusalem, Paul. People are after you there. But he wants to go to Jerusalem. He's trying to get to Jerusalem before Pentecost. He wants to go to Jerusalem because he's confident the Spirit of God has prompted him to go to Jerusalem. He's trying to get to Jerusalem where he's going to be. He's going to be arrested. We followed this story just a few weeks ago. He's going to be arrested for preaching about God's grace. And as we think about where Paul's going and what he's going to face, his journey cannot help but remind us of another journey. Of another journey into Jerusalem, another trip into the city of Jerusalem where the chief shepherd, Jesus himself, the chief shepherd, was arrested, he was beaten, he was ridiculed, he was falsely tried, you know the story, and he was crucified. Oh, but friends, make no mistake about it, he laid down his life of his own accord, according to the Father's plan and the Father's purpose and the Father's will. He laid down his life of his own accord for his lost sheep. And Paul's purpose now in pointing to Christ is really nothing more than prodding under shepherds to point to the chief shepherd who's also irony of ironies, the Lamb. The perfect Lamb. The chief shepherd is the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the Lamb of God and our good shepherd, and far more important than anything I could tell you today or any other day about shepherding sheep or following shepherds, is calling you to look to the shepherd. Look to the shepherd who gave his life for you. Look to the shepherd, the only perfect shepherd, the perfect shepherd who died to purchase you. Look to the Son of God and Son of Man And friends, though he was the high king of heaven, came to give his perfect and pure and spotless life as the only suitable sacrifice in your place and in my place, that we might forever know, love, and enjoy and live with him. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Oh, friend, did you know that means he came to give his life for me and for you? Did you know that you and I are one of the many? So wherever you are today, whatever thoughts, whatever baggage, whatever circumstances you bring into this gathering, this conversation, this time, let me beseech you, look to the shepherd, the perfect shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. Follow him. Look to Christ, the chief shepherd and the overseer of our souls. Well, God, would you help us to do so? Would you lead us to do so? Would you prod us to do so? Would you encourage us to do so in a way that exalts the name of Jesus, in a way that's faithful not to your word, in a way that, Lord, in a way that fosters sensitivity to your spirit and brokenness over sin and celebration at the work and person of Jesus. Oh, guide us even now, Spirit. Guide us now as we respond to your word, as we respond to Christ. Guide us to sing with celebration. Guide us to sing with humility. Lord, guide us to praise you in our hearts, with our lips, with our lives, with our minds. Guide us to respond to Jesus. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.